Welcome to the Property Couch, where each week you get to listen to two of Australia's leading property experts as they share with you the insider's guide to property investing.
All right, folks, you're on the Property Couch, your insider's guide to property investing. I'm Bryce Holdaway, co-host of Location, Location, Location Australia on Foxtel's Lifestyle Channel. And he's Ben Kingsley, the chair of the Property Investment Professionals of Australia and the Property Investment Advisor of the Year. Hello, mate.
G'day, buddy. How are you?
Good, thanks. You're sporting a little bit of dirt under the nose there.
I do. I'm doing Movember.
You're doing
Movember? This month, yes. Some men's health issues. So just haven't done it before. So thought I'd give it a go.
So what we're saying is if anyone is listening to our podcast for the first time today, they've got to sign up to Instagram, Twitter and Facebook to see a photo of this
day
Movember.
Five.
Day five.
It's the 5th of November, isn't it?
Yep.
So we're going day five. So I'll get all that. And there's obviously a on the Movember website, there'll be a couple of pics. So I'll be going on the journey.
Progress journey.
Yep. And no handlebars, everyone. Just a little traditional...
I was keen for the old handlebar tash. I was
really?
I was a bit disappointed you didn't drop
the... My lovely wife said no handlebars. So no handlebars.
Very good. Every week I introduce us by name, rank and title just in case someone's listening to us for the first time.
Yep.
And they can listen to they can understand who they're talking to. But I always say the Property Investment Advisor of the Year for you.
Yes.
But now I can actually say the reigning and current Property Investment Advisor of the Year, because, mate, you just took out the award for the second year in a row back-to-back.
I did. Thank you very much. So for those of you who don't know what this award is, there's not too many awards out there for property investment advisors. In fact, this is probably the number one award. It's done by Your Investment Property Magazine.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically feedback that they receive from satisfied clients, and then it's peer review of that feedback, and then they make a call on who gets the chocolates.
I've been dialing 0055 numbers for you, texting my vote in. I'll probably spend a couple of $100,000 on voting.
Really?
It meant nothing?
Well, that's only small change for you.
Yeah.
No, it's not. So it doesn't. It's not a popularity contest.
It's actually someone who knows what they're doing actually gets rewarded. That's
correct.
Awesome.
And there's a few out there that are popularity contests. So I don't necessarily chase those, but that's nice to know. And I've got to say that this is not my award. It's obviously everyone that helps me
do the work that we do.
Well, it's important to understand that you can't... I mean, I've advised now on over, I think, around $750 million worth of property investment plans. Mm. And you just simply can't do that by yourself. So, yep, as much as I'm here pretty much 70 hours a week, there's a great team of people who do that. So shout out to Joel and Michael Pope and the team here at Empower Wealth. They do a great job.
Yes, I totally agree with you. But what I do want to say to the listeners is that Ben has some very strong thought leadership. He's I often wonder how he functions, the amount of sleep that he has. And the ideas and philosophies that he has very much permeates through the culture of our business here. So he is very humble, and he does have other people that do help him do what he does. But I can assure you his thought leadership is, I think it's a really significant award because, you know, there was Buyer's Agency of the Year awards, there was Property Manager of the Year awards, there was Tax Agent Advisor of the Year. But given in our view, and we've said it almost to the point of breaking down, you know, broken record, that we feel that too many property investors get stung. In that environment, and that is a backdrop for you to be able to win that, it's pretty good. So I thought today we might actually try and unpack a little bit for the benefit of the listeners. If they've been listening for the last 35 episodes, they will get undertones and undercurrents of your philosophies and your thoughts as to how you build a portfolio. But when someone walks into the office, what do you think is the number one message that you're trying to get across to them? Because let's be honest, the levers that you talk about are quite straightforward in your mind. But is there anything that you feel that you need to overcome with a client, or is it more about mindset that you're trying to get them to a place where you already... What am I trying to say? You probably know what they need to do within the first 5 minutes, but it takes you the rest of the hour to get them to come up to speed with what you're trying to do.
Well, I mean, technically people should come in a little bit conservative, a little bit unsure. You know, ultimately we're a business and you know, we get paid for the work that we do. So naturally there's a tendency for not having trust and that sort of rapport. So the most important thing I do with people is to sort of say, look, this first hour, which is, you know, I usually give a complimentary hour to anyone who's willing to put some information together for me, so I can give some tips straight up, is really just around getting them to understand that there are a lot of moving parts. And, you know, if property investment was easy, then everyone would do it. And do it well, but it's not. You know, a lot of people do it, but do it poorly. So I think the most important thing for me is around sort of understanding the moving parts. So, you know, for us, that's about the process. That's about the science. It's about the formulas. And it's all about putting all of that together. And there is absolutely big things on mindset, money management, structuring, strategy, implementation, tactics, you know, formulas, processes, asset selection. So there is a lot to learn. I mean, you know, this is a $500,000 transaction most of the time, if not more. You know, in some cases we're refinancing, restructuring, getting them fit to actually operate in the property investment arena. So I think from that point of view, that's probably where it shouldn't be solved in an hour. In fact, you know, to do a property plan with myself or one of my team, it's a 20-hour process. That's roughly what it takes. So, and that's usually around 5 or 6 hours of contact time face-to-face, or for our interstate and overseas clients, it's about having that conversation with them via Skype or GoToMeeting or whatever we use. And that's the most important thing for me. It's about, and then from a personal point of view, it's what that money's going to do for them. So property is but a vehicle. You know, I mean, you know, I was actively into shares from the age of 16, and I was trading shares and sort of working out the best fit for me as I was learning more about my, you know, sort of comfort levels and my mindset to money and building that knowledge up. And as you build that knowledge up, you get more and more comfortable with it, and you move from a position of procrastination and scared to a movement of confidence and assurity in terms of what you're doing. So I think, you know, I'm answering this in a long, long-winded way, but the reality is there are lots of moving parts. And so, you know, making sure we do that and then align it back to their goals. Why are they doing this? So there's tangible reason. Because if you don't have a tangible reason, the reality is you'll probably change tact, you know, and then trying to unpack what those tangible reasons are, whether it's I want to supply, you know, an income for my family into the future, I want to build a legacy for the next generation, I want to, you know, go on great holidays, I've got my bucket list, we want to get a bigger home. All of those things are important. And when you're doing a property investment plan, a lot of those plans actually include a new owner-occupied property. So it's not just about focusing in on one property. It's about sort of saying, how do we plan this out and how do we focus on getting the big rocks in the jar?
Well, I think that's probably one of your strengths, isn't it, that you look at the bigger picture of, well, first of all, the why, so that we can actually start from there, but also take into account the realities that people have in their life, school fees, renovate the kitchen, go on a significant holiday. Because let's be honest, until I met you that many years ago, the idea of what a strategy really looked like is the advisor, and I'm doing inverted commas here for the listeners, they look at your, I guess, balance sheet, their eyes would light up, see that you've got equity, and the strategy is as simple, you've got to buy a property.
If you've got $80,000 and equity in your family home, we can help you get into property investing. Blah, blah, blah.
Man, there's a career in
that wasn't not bad there, was it?
You can't start the podcast, but at least you've got a career in voiceovers. So what do you think is the someone walks in and their biggest aha moment is once they've spent the time with you understanding the process and they spend an hour to an hour and a half with you, what do you think the number one aha moment is for those people based on the paradigms they had when they walked in? And then after the 90 minutes?
I'd like to think it's that, he's on my side. You know, he's going to be part of a professional team that's going to help me be the best that I can be and have the best results I can be. So I'm no different than, you know, as an active professional investor myself and my family, if I'm teaching, you know, I still take advice and I'm still learning, you know. But if the aha moment is that, wait a minute, he knows what he's talking about, and he's going to be in my team, it just makes perfect sense that I'm going to leverage from his knowledge, leverage from his skill, and leverage from all of the information that he can provide.
And you're trying to be in the same scene as in the same breed of professionals that someone would go to their accountant each and every year for a review. They go to their solicitor. In fact, go to their hairdresser. They go back with for a regular service and see them as a trusted advisor.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when you're building out a full portfolio plan, which is a multiple property strategy, so we can build a one-off investment plan. You know, what's the next thing I can do? What's the next best move for me? Or we do a full portfolio plan, which is reverse engineering from a certain date in time and then an income target. So once I understand all of that, I can then obviously articulate what that means in terms of the big rocks in the jar.
So for the benefit of our listeners, can you tell them what that strategy looks like? You talked about the portfolio plan. You really sort of put them into three categories, don't you? The money and finance plan,
yep.
The property plan, and the portfolio plan for the benefit of our listeners.
Yeah, so for those of you who are, let's say, single, but you're looking to, you know, eventually find Mr. or Mrs. Right for you, the reality is that your future is quite uncertain. And so your future cash flow, you can't quite determine what that looks like. So it may be prudent if you're in your early 20s to mid-20s, even late 20s for that matter, that, you know, maybe just doing one strategy with a five-year goal is perfect for you. But if you're settled in the relationship that you're in and you sort of know the goals that you want to achieve, in other words, starting a family, you know, aspiring to that better home, then technically that's a portfolio plan. So we are able to measure cash flow movements for the next 40 years by month and unpack those future changes to make sure that what we're doing from a strategic point of view around making recommendations on the property, its purchase price point, its growth returns, its yield returns, marry into that story. So it's really important that the people understand that. And look, I mean, you know, I'm big on telling stories like you are, Bryce. This came about purely because I was in my late 20s. We had one or two, I'd bought two properties by that point. I was settling down with Jane. She was the one, you know, we're getting serious. And through, you know, just general planning, we were going to move back to Melbourne. I just said, look, I don't know how many more, or can we get another investment property? And it was just really frustrating because there was some great, I mean, there are some great software programs out there. You know, shout out to PIA, Property Investment Professional, which is done by Summersoft, Ian and Jan Summers. And then there's another one called Posh. And I own both of those software programs. And they're great for isolating a property and looking at it, you know, on its own. But when you're trying to build out a portfolio, you've got money coming into offsets, you've got tax implications of that, you've got ownership structures, you've got all these other things to consider, there wasn't anything out there. And that's when, you know, my light bulb moment was, I need to, you know, build this because I think it's the right thing for people. I mean, I've been to all of the seminars, guys. I mean, from about the age of 19 through to 25, I reckon I went to 50 or 60 different events just to listen to what they're... And so, yes, I've seen Peter Spann, I've seen Henry Kay, I've seen all the Sprukers, and I've also seen some great commentators, you know, such as John... I'm trying to think of his name. It used to be Residex, John Edwards.
And Noel Whittaker.
Noel Whittaker's, and some really smart and educated people as well. You know, shout out to also, you know, people like Margaret, and then there's also Monique Wakeland that have got some good things to say. Yeah, you know, that they were good. There was good information in terms of what they provided. But the reality was that it was so inconsistent. And if any of you are who are trying to get your headspace around this, the biggest frustration in this game is, I get some strategy advice from one person and the next person shouts it down. Mm. And then I get some strategy advice from and the next person shouts it down. Then I go and see my accountant and he's got a different idea. Mm. So
to be honest, I think that's probably the success of our podcast, because it's nothing to do with the ego of you and me. It's largely to do with a consistent message that people have now heard for 35 weeks versus some other great podcasts that are out there where they get guest speakers on, and exactly what you just said. One person says, do this, and the next person comes on 3 weeks later and opposes that story. I think it's probably the message of our podcast is, whether you agree with us or not, it's a consistent message.
It is, and this is, again, about my own journey, and that's what you wanted to interview me about today. I mean, early on, I was a growth investor, so I was looking for capital growth properties. I like the inner city stuff, you know, not actual high-rise or medium-density stuff, but I was talking about fringe of the city, gentrifying areas, those types of things. And I've been very fortunate at that, but my situation is different. So when you actually wear a hat of an advisor, everyone that you're meeting with actually has different cash flow challenges. And so you're trying to accommodate that need. So, you know, for the last 10 years, and I've been doing this for 20 years, guys, the last 10 years has been around setting up the frameworks and making sure that it was professional advice that I was giving as opposed to my opinion, which obviously my opinion has some fingerprints in the information that I give. But in reality, I've got to find a tailored solution. And there are multiple strategies that can be adopted. So that's probably been my biggest achievement as a professional advisor over the last 10 years is to develop strategies that can accommodate the majority of the marketplace.
Yeah, and I think with a lack of ego, because it's not about you thumping your chest, sort of saying this is what I've been doing. This is come and have a look at me. It's actually the people who walk out of the meeting with you. It's not about you. It's about them, and it's about their numbers, and they can just draw this confidence that they've got faith in what comes out of your mouth, but you've related it directly to them. And I think that's probably the thing that sets it apart.
Yeah, look, I mean, I don't talk about my own individual portfolio. I don't think that's relevant. You know, I was fortunate in my commercial career before I, you know, set up in Power Wealth. I was on good income for my age and I was able to do what I did. And there are people out there on good incomes who the reality is we can make more money for them. And there's people who are, you know, doing great community services, teachers, nurses. Some of the greatest joy I get is out helping those people who aren't as affluent because, you know, it's a challenge. Whereas, you know, if I've got an anaesthetist on 400 grand a year, it's going to be pretty easy for me to sort of focus on some scarce assets. And cash flow is not going to be the challenge for them. So that's the message out there is to say that, you know, I have this unbelievably unwavering desire to help as many people as I can. And that's what the Empower Wealth business was about when I first set it up. It was about sort of just going out there and saying, anyone who comes in here, we can teach them better money management skills. We can teach them what's possible. Now, that's not to say that everyone's going to walk out of here on hundreds of thousands of dollars and be multi-millionaires, but that's about saying, I know that with the talent of the people that I work with, we can change lives, and that's, you know, really powerful.
Mate, when you first started advising, just try and rewind 10 years, yep. you tend to always give, and I know you well, and I can tell the listeners that he's not actually just making that up. He actually genuinely is interested in people's outcomes, and my BS radar is up when Ben first chatted to me. When you've got a television show, everyone wants to talk to you, yep. But chatting with you was different. If you could rewind back 10 years and you were advising clients, giving them the best information that you knew at the time and to present day, what do you think you've adjusted the most in the message that you've given? Given that, you know, you can look these guys in the eye 10 years ago and tell them that they got really great advice, but what do you think's changed, or how do you think the advice might have changed during that time?
Well, with the development of the software that we use, the advice has been probably more broadened. And that's probably been the biggest lesson for me is that coming back to the, you know, mine and Jane's story, we sat down and we built this software package around trying to understand what's possible, you know, and all of the moving parts around variables and any of the sort of adjustments that would need to be made and the assumptions that we had in the forecasting and the modelling that we did. So in some of those earlier forecasts, I was probably a little bit more aggressive on growth. So just to give you an idea, listeners, I went back to 1974 and I studied, you know, the returns on investment across all the marketplaces. I went and bought all the data from the Valuer General, and I had a good long look at that around what that looked like. And we worked out that across the Melbourne metropolitan area, that the long-term growth rate has been over 8% for the last 38 years. So from that point of view, it's been really important for me to sort of then say, well, if that's been the average, what about, you know, the best? And some of the best are 11-12%. So some of the very initial plans I built had 9%, 10% growth targets on them, and I've brought that back. So, you know, some of the latest research we've been doing from, you know, the last 25 years, some of those growth rates are now sort of 8s, 9s. So we've just adjusted those. We've been steadfast in our income, our interest rates. Mm. So we set interest rates when we do our models at 7.25 long-term interest rates, very steadfast on that. And we as a committee have had chats about whether we adjust that down, because You know, we measured that from the RBA when they were decoupled from the federal government back in 1993 and to 2009, and we basically set those parameters. So I think from that point of view, I sleep at night knowing that the advice that I give is on the conservative side, but if people manage their money like I hope they would, then their future looks pretty bright.
I agree. So if you thought about your own personal portfolio, mm-hmm. have you got one or two things that you would do differently talking to Ben Kingsley, the investor, as a 20-year-old versus Ben Kingsley, the 40-something-year-old?
Yes, and this is one of them's in the new book, one of the mistakes. So when I was 23, I bought my first house across the road from mum and dad. Mm-hmm. So I was the classic no idea. And safety in what I knew. Mm-hmm. So the house, a beautiful big court in sort of northern suburbs of Bundoora, or what I call Fundoora. and then, so I went up for auction and I bought it for $120,000.
Yep.
And, you know, with no real science behind that. And I held that property for around 5 years before I moved to Sydney. And then I got some poor advice from an accountant who said, oh, you know, this is cash flow positive. We need to do something about this. You're paying God too forbid. Much tax. I mean, God, you know, and everyone sort of says, oh, I'm paying too much tax. For all the listeners out there, if you're paying tax, that's not a bad thing. And if you're building a passive income, so cut a long story short, I sold that property for $165,000 after I bought it for $120,000. And then I bought into the Sydney market, and that's been obviously a good move. But that property in Bundoora now would probably fetch about $550,000. Oh. So there's been effectively a $350,000 to $400,000 mistake right there.
That's your barbecue topic. Doesn't everyone have a story about the one that got away?
Oh, look, they do. I've got one other, and you asked for a couple. there was a block of land in Western Australia that was a four-pack townhouse site in an area called Rockingham. And my wife's from Western Australia, so we spend Christmas over there every couple of years. And this block was being advertised when I first started going over there for around, I think from memory, it was around 185 to 230,000. And in the peak of the gold of the mining boom, I was going to say the gold rush, the mining boom, they were asking 1.1 million for it. So, and that was, you know, there was no equity harvesting there. Nothing was built on it. It was still that vacant block. I think, you know, they'll probably take offers now around sort of 650 for it, but there you go.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's one that got away. As soon as I saw it, I thought I should buy that, but I didn't get around to it.
I've got a question here from Donna, who's written into us. Thank you, Donna. Finding an investment. I am confused. The info you guys share is amazing. The level of knowledge you both have and impart so freely is priceless. What I am confused about is why can't I find someone in WA that provides a service that Ben talks about giving to his clients? I don't expect it to be free, but I've never come across a service that works with you to clarify, evaluate, plan, implement, and nice to see that?
Yes.
Clarify, evaluate, plan, implement, and manage a property investment strategy. The brokers I've worked with have quite literally aimed to get us the biggest mortgage we could possibly get and consequently had to sell when life happens.
Yeah.
The only property advice our brokers have shared is, well, nothing actually. Where can I find someone like you?
Well, you know, we do work with interstate clients, but look, we are in the frontier of this. I mean, I know through, my role as the chair of PIPA, what's out there in regards to who's giving what type of advice. I have a dream that one day, you know, the software program that we've built here will be available for others to use and to, you know, to really professionalise the industry. You know, that's something that's high on my radar over the next 24 months to try and see if that's able to be built. And obviously it's going to be a significant investment from us, you know, Bryce and myself, in terms of building that out. So we've got to work on that. But ultimately, there isn't a lot of information out there in terms of being able to do that. So I know that there's some great property advisory companies. I'd shout out to Damien Collins at Momentum Wealth in Western Australia. He's probably the closest over in the West in terms of he now has a property investment advisor in his business. And you could potentially, Donna, go and have a chat with them. And then there's some other good operators over there, you know. But if you want to be a bit more DIY, Destiny have an office over in Perth as well. So there's a couple of options, but there's not a lot. So, you know, part of what I'm trying to do is to say, look for a qualified property investment advisor and then see what information they would provide for you. So don't take your investment advice, your property investment advice, from your mortgage broker, from your accountant, from a financial planner. Take it from someone who's qualified to give it. And when you're talking to them, the first question you ask is, how are you paid? And then can you give me a rundown of the report or the information that you provide as part of your service? And that'll be a great start. You'll be able to pick out the pretenders from the real professionals.
Yeah, I always say that ask them a question really early on in the discussion, what's the best property for me? And you can waste a lot of time by not asking that early enough, because if someone brings out an answer to that question too early, yeah, it's always a good sign that maybe they don't have your best interest at heart. Whereas, you know, if someone asks you that, you'd be like, well, let's just shelve that question. I'll come back to it. We've got a lot of other stuff to unpack and to talk about. So, Don, a really great question. As Ben said, there's a couple of great operators. The Pippa website is a great place to start. But and as Ben said, this, you know, this is not a plug for our business, but we deal with clients interstate and internationally, so we can at the very least help you connect with the right people, Donna. But a really great question, and I think the message of your question, Donna, is trying to bring all the parts together. We talked very early on in the podcast about A, B, C, D. The challenge is trying to get A, B, C, D under the same philosophy. And if you're using separate companies, that's often really difficult to do. So, but we can help you, Donna. So if you send an email to us at info@thepropertycouch.com.au, Ivis, who helps us with that, will make sure that that comes to us, and we'll connect you with the right people over in WA. My hometown as well. So shout out to all the WA listeners. Ben, I guess, you know, with this award comes a bit of responsibility for making sure that you can live up to, you know, the back-to-back titles that you have.
Yep.
What would you like to see as the property investment advisor? What's your goals for the industry? And I guess being able to mentor other people to probably advise like you do.
Yeah, I mean, this podcast is not just necessarily for consumers. I'm hoping that other professionals are listening to it. And I've been fortunate to get a bit of feedback on that from people who I respect, are saying, you know, they really enjoy listening to it and they're learning as well. So, you know, I shouted out to some of the people that I listened to and I read early on, you know, in terms of my professional development as an advisor. There's obviously more to be learnt. You know, we'll never rest on our laurels. Data's getting better and better. The science is going to get stronger and stronger around timing property markets and building that out. So I think for me, if there's a legacy of what this podcast is all about, it is about sort of making sure that professionals continue to develop their skill sets and to be open-minded around the potential for clients. So what I don't like to see is someone who's steadfast in one strategy and one strategy only and is not willing to tailor the solution to the consumer, is more interested in, okay, well, that's the easiest way for me to get a volume sale or traction with that particular client. So that really pisses me off.
We might have to put the E up on this podcast for that one. That's the explicit little code, but that's all right. Ben's really passionate about that.
I was wondering what that little code was when I saw that on other podcasts. I'm like, what's that E mean?
Tim Ferriss, as you know, is one of my favourites. Yeah. He's got the E and he drops the F-bomb a fair bit. We'll probably pass on the F-bomb on ours. But, so there you have it, folks. I think what we are particularly proud of here at the Property Couch is that Ben is being recognised by peers in a non-popularity contest, actually, for rewarding for what he does for a living. And I think that for all of our loyal listeners, I think that hopefully gives you some real encouragement that the 30 minutes or so that you're investing out of your life each week to listen to some of the information that we share is well worth your time. So from Ivis and myself here at the Property Couch, Ben, congratulations on an award that we think is well deserved. Also, I have to stand next to this bloke with this moustache. So for the next couple of podcasts, as well as being in the office here. So if you wouldn't mind going to thepropertycouch.com.au and having a look at Ben's Movember link, he's interested in raising somewhere between $1,000 and $2,000 for that wonderful cause. We'll post some photos up. And as I say every week, if you're not part of our social media on Instagram, Facebook and Twitter, Ibis will put some photos up there as well so you can see its tash as it grows. And also a lot of the information that we've been covering in the Property Couch each week is being, I guess, distilled into our book, the inside, it's the Armchair Guide to Property Investing, How to Retire on $2,000 per Week, with a whole bunch of case studies. So if you're interested in getting an early registration for that copy as soon as it hits the print, we're happy to send that to you. So if you go to thepropertycouch.com.au/book and type in the code TPC, and we've made it really easy. You can do capital TPC, lowercase TPC, any way you like, and you can get a discount for that as well. So there you have it, folks. The Property Investment Advisor of the Year shared some pearls of wisdom, and as it happens every single week, his credibility drops at this point.
Yep.
As we round off the year, signing off around the world. Where are we today, mate?
Mate, we're Sweden, so we're Swedish.
Well, this will be interesting.
Oh, this is going to be again, shout out, apologies, but, you know, before acceptance.
And all for the French people, sorry to have a French accent too.
How do I do this one? Oh, my God, what am I doing? Hjärda.
Where is it?
Hjärda.
Hjärda. Hejda. There we go.
Hejda. Well, we're not in Saudi Arabia.
There we go. We've all got a flavour, haven't we? So until next week, folks.
See ya. Hejda.
Hejda. See ya.